preparing for the no-huddle offense that you did back in training camp will help you this Sunday against the Ravens?
You know, the good thing is that we've been working. I think that's part of every defense. You know, in the OTAs, you have time and you work on certain situations. You know, and no-huddle is one of the situations that we worked on in the OTAs and training camp.
If you look at DeMeco, what did he show you on Sunday?
You know what? He showed what he's been showing us in practice. You know, he just did what he's been doing in the OTAs and in training camp, except this was the real deal. You know, he made some plays and was a leader and got everybody excited. And at the end, you know, he was having a good time playing the game, and everybody fed off of him.
During the game, did you decide that he was all right being the three-down linebacker, didn't have to, you know, rotate a whole bunch of guys?
I'm not sure when we decided not to, you know. Well, you know, I think the thing is that during, you know, you'll see in practice today, you know, that, you know, what we started doing is, you know, what Wash does with his defensive linemen is that in practice he lets them go four plays and then rotates them. So what we started doing is we wanted our defensive backs. You know, when you go 10 straight plays, it's hard. I mean, you got to get in shape. And so what we started doing is we started letting our defensive backs go four plays just like the defensive linemen do, and then we rotate the younger guys for a couple plays and then let those other guys come back. And what we found out, it really has helped us in practice as far as playing even faster or playing faster with the back end. You know, with the linebackers and the DBs, resting those guys a little bit. And that's what we did with Miko last week, and we're doing that this week.
How do you prepare then if the Ravens are going to use the no huddle and there's a chance that there could be 8 or 10 straight plays?
Well, I mean, there's a chance. You know, you don't want 8 or 10 plays, but even without no huddle, you could have 8 or 10 plays, you know, so that's no different.
The chance to substitute.
Right. You know? I think incomplete passes, there's opportunities, you know.
The play call.
Brandon Graham only played, I think, four snaps in the opening. Could you just explain that, and will he get more opportunity?
Well, I think the key is, you know, there were 8 other guys that also suited up, and I think as Coach Washburn gets a feel during the game, he kind of goes with the guy that he feels is, you know, is playing the best. He has a certain rotation. And so, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, Brandon is still, I mean, there's still competition. You know, you're out there at practice right now. There's still stiff competition right now at the D-line. I mean, those guys are fighting for playing time, you know, right now, during the week, every practice. You know, I mean, those guys, and it comes down who Wash feels practices the best and who does the best during practice.
Coming off the game you guys had defensively, the confidence of the guys going into a game like this where the offense is much better?
Well, the thing is that, you know, we played the way we're supposed to play. You know, we talked about playing fast. You know, now this just allows us another opportunity. I think all the guys watched the Ravens. They were on Monday Night Football. I think they all got a chance to watch them on Monday night and watch them play. So I think, you know, we've had good practice yesterday. You know, today we'll, you know, it's another practice that we'll try to get better. But I think the key here is every day, every game, I mean, you're trying to get better fundamentally. You know, that's the key.
Did Brandon Graham do everything that you wanted him to do in the offseason, in the camps, in the training?
Yes, Brandon did everything he needed to. So did the other guys.
You know. What do you see as some of the keys for stopping the no-huddle offense?
Well, I think the first thing is just that, you know, is the different tempos that they have. You know, they have different tempos. I mean, sometimes it's a fast tempo, a 2-minute mode. Sometimes it's just a, you know, they may snap it off at 14, 13, and then sometimes they'll go right to the end. I think just with us, the good thing is that we've been practicing hard at it, and we're kind of excited to see how, you know, our no huddle looks like.
What's the process for getting the play call during the no huddle? Are they looking toward the sideline? Do they go in with a template?
You know what happens is, like, the Ravens, they look at this press conference too, you know? So you gotta have to be careful a little bit, you know, like some of the questions, you know, because, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, I'm sorry, you know?
How impressed were you
not just by Jason Babin's performance overall, but his performance against the run. He had a couple of key run stops in the game on Sunday.
You know what? Jason Babin was relentless. I mean, he was unbelievable. You know, I think, you know, he hadn't practiced in a long time, you know, and hadn't hit anybody that I think he was ready to hit somebody. And I think, you know, the run game, I mean, that just really with all the defensive front. You know, we'll get tested again this week, but we talked before, Paul, we talked about the OTAs and Wash having time to work the fundamentals with those defensive linemen, you know. I mean, that's really been the key, is that time that we've had, the OTAs, to work the fundamentals with our players. You know, what we saw is the reason why we drafted him, why you know, Howie and Coach drafted him, and Wash liked him on tape, you know, very explosive, you know, played it hard and made plays.
How about the other two rookies, Boykin and Kendricks?
You know what, we looked at some tape this morning, and you saw Boykins make a, you know, the quarterback ended up breaking contain a little bit, and he slid to his right. Boykin initially had his guy covered, and then the guy separated from him, so the guy had about a yard on him, and the quarterback threw the ball, and you're thinking a completion, but Boykin, what he did is he just ended up really just diving, or he just kind of threw himself out and was able to deflect that ball. You know, that really kind of says it about him. He makes plays. He's been making plays in training camp. You know, the game's not too big for him. And, you know, we're excited about him just getting better. I mean, it's still for him. He'll tell you himself, it's still a process. You know, every day he's getting a little better and a little better. And hopefully, you know, that'll happen in the games too.
What stands out to you about Flacco when you watch his game from the preseason in this first game?
You know what, the confidence. You know, the confidence that he's operating in that no huddle. You know, the trust that he has in his receivers. You know, you saw him just, I mean, I think we all watched the game, you know. He just let those guys make plays, you know. And his strength, you know, he's a big guy in the pocket, you know. Allows their offensive linemen to set a certain way because you can see over those offensive linemen.
What can you
see adjust after that first? I think it was in the first quarter he almost gave up a touchdown, but the quarterback overthrew it a little bit. But the guy was wide open.
You know, I think some of that, and that would be my fault because we go through tendencies, you know, and you know, may give DRC, hey, look, when they do this, this is this, and obviously I was wrong there.
Just assess how
you perform. You know what, with Michael, I mean, you know, he's relentless. You know, again, we watched a clip of, you know, it was a big play. It was first and five, and they threw a crossing route. And he was able to plant his foot and explode, and I think he tackled the play for a 2-yard gain, and really it was first and five, and they ended up not making a first down, and he's very explosive, he's relentless, and you know, the nice thing is he wants to be good, he wants to be the best, you know, and Miko's a good leader, and he's a good example for Michael, you know, and he's. I mean, he's just eating it up. But Miko is, the way Miko acts and the way he goes about things, you know, and Michael's just kind of eating that up. I mean, Michael wants to be that type of player.
It was four interceptions for both sides on Sunday. If you look at interceptions in general, is it more the offense and the quarterback, or is it more the defense making plays?
I think it probably depends on the media, you know, how you all take it, you know.
Two very good pass-catching tight ends. What kind of problems do Pitta and Dixon present to a defense?
Well, you know, I mean, they really got five guys that are really good. You know, I mean, those outside receivers also are very good. So, you know, really it's hard because you can't just focus on the tight ends because you got to focus on those outside receivers too. So, I mean, it's going to be a great challenge for our guys, but our guys will be up for it.
What impresses you most about Kirk Coleman?
His heart. You know, this. I think this was powerful, you know. I went up to Kirk, you know, and I told him, I said, man, you know, Kirk, I respect you so much, you know. You know, to get hit like that and God don't come out, and, I mean, it's unbelievable. And I just went up to him and I said, you know, man, I respect you so much for the way you handle it. And he says, Juan, he says, I have a daughter to support. You know, I have a family to support. Well, you know what? That says a lot, man, you know? I mean, that tells you right now what he's all about, what he's thinking about. You know, I think you guys are probably the same. Some of you guys understand we all have to take care of our families, you know, but he's got it in the right perspective, so it's very important for him.
Juan, with your two cornerbacks last year, have you seen a change in approach to this year, or are they the same type players they were this year?
Well, I think the difference is that, you know, for Dominique, he's, you know, Asante's not here, so he's playing on the outside, you know, and he's not playing a position that we were trying to teach him to play, you know, and really Nam is just in the second year of the program, you know, and he got all the OTAs work. He feels comfortable with their coverages, the strength of the coverage, and the damage control that we have to do, you know, for the coverage, because every coverage, you know, every coverage takes something away, but it gives up something. And I think the important thing is to understand what that is as we're calling it. And so he also has a feel of, all right, here's what we're going to call next. Here's what's going to happen because we're trying to take away this route combination.
Did you see last year that they might have been second-guessing themselves or lost a little confidence?
Well, I think the hard part is not having the OTAs. And really, when you look at it, I mean, they didn't have a lot of training camp either. I mean, they came in after – we had already installed all our coverages when Nam and Dominique came in. So it was a matter of now we're trying to catch up. So I think part of it just it took a little bit for them to understand the concepts of the coverages, even though, you know, a coverage is a coverage, you know, but it still has different names. And then the adjustments, the way you call the adjustments. So there's a learning curve process.
It's like coaching two cornerbacks to have two diverse opposite personalities.
Guys, you know, on the field, I just look at it on the field, you know, on the field, they're the same, they're competitors, you know, they each want to be the best, and really just in practice, there's a lot of competition in practice, you know, both of them work hard. I think after practice, you see Nam stay after practice and work. I think you see Dominique gets his practice during practice. You know, what Dominique will do is he'll go over and take scout team reps so that he can go against Deshaun and Macklin and get some good work there.
You disappointed at all the way things turned out with Jaquan?
You know what? It's not over for him. You know, hopefully he does well. You know, you know, hopefully he ends up doing well. He's a good kid, you know.
Thanks, man.
Juan Castillo, Eagles defensive coordinator, and